Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from my home. And my daughter Brenda's here.
Hello.
And we're going to be having a wonderful meeting, a prayer meeting. And really, Brenda, I know that this prayer meeting that we're having coming up just shortly here in Branson this month, it's going to have to do with praying in the plan of God. Praying in the glory, praying in the move of God. There will also be some dealing with issues and things, stopping the strategies of the enemy. But I feel that it's going to be praying in God's plan and God's glory. And that's always been the pattern. Any move of God has to be prayed in. And it's no less true of Azusa Street. I happen to know that around Los Angeles, people were sensing that a move of God was coming. Now, we told a story earlier in the week how that it had really been, people had not been speaking with tongues for a long time. It had been like cankerworm had eaten it. It had been lost. I'm sure there was someone praying, but very few. And there came a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the 20th century. And on this side of the hemisphere, it started through Dr. Charles Parham and Topeka, Kansas, where he founded a Bible school because he wanted to know, what does the Bible mean when it says baptism with the Holy Spirit? And God supernaturally gave him a place, a mansion for the school, supernaturally led the students there. And they were seeking God. It was huge. And there were rooms at each. They had a prayer tower. And then they each had rooms where they could seek God and ask him, what do you mean when you say baptism with the Holy Spirit? And they all came up with the same answer, that the Bible evidence was speaking with tongues. And so at the turn of the century, 1901, they were having a watch night service. And 1 minute past midnight, as they sought God, one of the ladies, Miss Agnes Osman, a missionary lady, was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then 2 days later, the whole group of them, I think about 12 of them, were baptized in the Holy Spirit out of the 35. And then Brother Parham came. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. That room could not contain them. They burst out into meetings in the area. They had miracle signs and wonders. And they moved down through Oklahoma. They went out. And they touched the Tulsa area. We talked about that. It's in my book, Road to Prayer Mountain. Eventually, they came down to Houston, Texas, where he started a Bible school down there, Brother Parham. And those were segregation days. And this one-eyed black preacher asked if he could listen at the doorway. And Brother Parham said, yes, it was segregated. And he listened. He got so convinced that speaking in tongues was the answer. And was the evidence. He was invited to preach in Los Angeles area, and he went out to preach for a woman preacher, and he preached that speaking in tongues was the Bible evidence. She did not agree, and when he came back to church that night, it was boarded up. And Brother Seymour then went to a house on Bonnie Bray Street, and there, April 6 through 9, 1906, they prayed, and on the 9th, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and that revival they had reached around the world. They had so many people coming to that little house on Bonnie Bray Street, and if you've ever gone to that little house, the anointing is still there. They had so many people come that the porch broke down, and like we have today, you know, the fire marshal will come and say, you can get only so many people in here. They were having a hard time with the people, all the huge crowds that were coming to Bonnie Bray Street. So Brenda's going to be reading in a book, They Told Me Their Stories. This is a collection with Tommy Welchel as the storyteller. He'd been a young man running from the law, and he'd gone to California and been ministered to by two elderly ladies who had been at Azusa Street. They took this young man back to where they all lived at Pisgah, a place called Pisgah. And he came to know a lot of the people from Azusa Street were elderly now, and they gathered there. They lived there. They worked for God there. He came to know them, and he took down their stories. And this is his book, They Told Me Their Stories. Brenda, would you please read about the part of prayer? And this is one case, but this is the one that very much affected Brother Seymour. So,
Brother Tommy, you mean?
No, Brother Seymour.
Oh, Brother Seymour. Okay, this is in the beginning, meet Sister Carney Azusa, age 17.
Mm-hmm.
And is this her account?
Just read it.
Okay. The police officers were polite yet firm. Either shut it down or rent a place like a regular church or auditorium. You have gotten too big to continue to meet at this home. This revival meeting began as a small gathering led by William Seymour in a home on Bonnie Bray Street. It now flowed out to the front yard, the neighbors' yards, and on to the street as Brother Seymour preached from the porch of this small home in the L.A. area. Seymour had been warned several times before and realized that he needed a much larger gathering place. The power of God was evident as the crowd grew larger and larger each passing day. He had been looking for a place to meet and had found an abandoned warehouse that at one time was used as a Methodist church. The warehouse was perfect, and the only thing that was keeping Seymour from renting the building was money. That night, the need to move was heavy on Seymour's heart. He prayed to God for direction, and before the evening was over, he had received his answer. God instructed him to go on a trolley car as soon as the service ended and go to Pasadena. True to God's leadership, Seymour didn't argue, but rather headed for Pasadena, where it was illegal for blacks like Brother Seymour to be after dark. He rode the trolley until God instructed him to get off, and then followed as God directed him to an apartment nearby. Sister Carney, just a teenager but married, had arrived in Pasadena earlier that day. She was to meet with several of her friends and had been members of the First Baptist Church until they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somehow that didn't fit Baptist doctrine. This evening they were coming together to pray for revival. Meeting together for months now in the apartment of one of the members of the group, this particular evening these ladies continued in fervent prayer for several hours. They were certain that God was about to do something big in the Los Angeles area. Just after 10 p.m., God brought together two elements of a force that, when joined together, would usher in one of the greatest manifestations of God ever experienced by a man since the birth of Christ. Seymour walked up to the apartment that God had led him to and knocked on the door. Sister Carney remembers the time to be about 10:30 p.m. The ladies went to the door together, and when they opened the door, they found a black man, blind in one eye, standing before them. For many people on that day and in that area, a black man showing up at their door late at night would have been a sign to slam the door and call the police. But that night, God was in charge. The owner of the apartment, with some apprehension, asked, "Can I help you?" The answer as to this simple and somewhat fretful question would startle and astonish those gathered for prayer. After several months of fervent prayer, God responded in an unusual manner. Seymour replied, "You're praying for revival, right?" When the ladies responded with a unanimous yes, Seymour made a bold statement, "I'm the man God has sent to preach that revival." Without hesitation, the ladies invited Seymour in. After some exciting chatter, he preached to them and took up an offering that was more than enough to rent the Azusa Street warehouse. This story is told to introduce Sister Carney. The prayer meeting that evening and those present at the meeting were not coincidental. God had been preparing many for the miracle of Azusa. Without this ordained meeting, Azusa may have never happened, and the meeting would have never taken place had it not been for the work of Sister Carney. Her story begins 2 years prior to Azusa. In 1904, Brother Langford, whose story you will read later, returned from attending Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, which was under the leadership of Charles Parham, coming back to Pisgah. Langford met with Dr. Yoakum, the founder of Pisgah, and introduced him to the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Dr. Yoakum immediately embraced this teaching and began to share this experience with all that came to his meetings. While attending services at Pisgah and at the age of 15 and already married, Sister Carney responded to Dr. Yoakum's teaching and was one of the first to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1904, her love for the Lord and her desire to introduce others to the exciting experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit led her to Pasadena. There she witnessed to several of her friends who were members of the First Baptist Church. By 1906, these ladies had been asked to leave the Baptist church because of their beliefs. Unknown to them, God was setting the stage for a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. When I met Sister Carney in the early 60s, she was in her mid-70s, standing about 5'9" tall, a slender built of about 130 pounds. She was a typical little old granny with a glory bun sitting on top of her gray hair. She walked slowly with a short steps, always wearing a pleasant smile. She had an older face with a pointed chin. When she smiled, her lips kind of sunk in. She still wore those flowery dresses ladies wore at the turn of the century. And yes, she wore granny boots, those little boots with little hooks and eyes. And about every third Monday night, I would walk to Sister Carney's apartment. As I approached her home, I would smell the enticing aroma of fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies waiting for me. I had the privilege to once a month of sitting at Sister Carney's feet on a small throw rug in front of her wooden rocker while eating cookies and drinking a cold glass of milk. I listened to her Azusa stories like the one that begins this chapter. Appreciated by everyone because she could tell the stories in Azusa in detail better than anyone. Sister Carney also was one of my favorite storytellers. Although she normally had a little high-pitched voice, when she told her stories, her voice was soothing yet filled with excitement. The story we began with concerning the start of Azusa didn't end there. In the beginning, Sister Carney, then 17 years old, was there. In fact, Mrs. Carney was there from raising the rent for the building to the first day they entered to clean the building until they padlocked the door. Sister Carney told of those stories at Azusa with an excitement that had stayed with her for over 60 years. Even with the money Seymour raised for the rent from Sister Carney and her friends, the old, dingy white warehouse still needed a lot of physical labor to get it ready for use. Sister Carney and her friends from the apartment joined the group from Bonnie Bray to prepare the dirty, cluttered building to serve as a worship center. They removed all sorts of junk they had accumulated through the years. The warehouse had been used as an old barn, housing all sorts of animals, and with the animals came mounds of animal waste. Sister Carney recalls that Brother Seymour assigned each of the volunteers an area to clean. With a warm smile, she told how grateful she was for the task of cleaning up that area that housed the small goats with their small droppings rather than cleaning up after the horses and cattle. After cleaning out the warehouse, the volunteers gathered and set up wooden fruit crates they had found thrown away behind the nearby grocery store.
Praise the Lord. And so we see how that Azusa Street, think of it. Those women were praying. They had been praying for a long time for an outpouring, and it changed the world. Now we're praying for an outpouring. Mm-hmm. We're praying for a manifestation of the glory. We're praying for an awakening. We've been doing this some time now, and we are going to pray in earnest. Mm-hmm. And people are coming from all over the world here at this critical time in history. This critical time before the Lord comes, He wants to pour out a great manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be praying about that October 24th through 28th with a gathering of a few thousand people in Branson, Missouri at the Hilton in downtown Branson. Come and join us. Shalom.